The words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. In a person's life, there are certain milestones that we cross, and it's times like those that we need to remember the dates and what happened to mark that off as significant junctures in our lives. So I'll give you my top five list in my life. First of all, I was born August 1st, 1962. The date of my baptism was August 28th, 1977. The date of my ordination into the gospel ministry was December 6th, 1992. My wedding date was June 19th, 1993. I didn't have to look at the paper for that one. The first Sunday I began my ministry here then as assistant pastor was April 6th, 2008. All of these are important dates in my personal history. Your set of events and dates may be different, but the key idea is to remember that these are important dates and junctures in our lives. Well, as we come to our passage in Luke 2, we see some very important dates in the early weeks of Christ's life. So my first point is Christ presented in the temple. The opening verses of our passage speaks of Jesus being circumcised on the eighth day, as God's word commanded from Genesis 17, verse 12. God commanded Abraham that on the eighth day a male baby should be circumcised as a sign of the covenant between God and Abraham and then his descendants after him. It was on that same day that the male child was circumcised that the child was also formally named. Here in our passage, Jesus is formally named, the name that the parents were instructed and commanded to name the child, through the parents, the appearance of an angel both to Mary and to Joseph. Mary and Joseph act in obedience to God's word given to them. They named him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Here also we see the active obedience of Christ for our salvation, for he always obeyed the will of God for our salvation, including obedience to God's law. And in this case, our Lord's parents obeyed the law of God on Christ's behalf. But from another angle, the Lord Jesus, the second person of the eternal Trinity, willingly became human and submitted to the parents that God had ordained for him. So while all other male infants, circumcision was something done to them. They were passive. That's not true of Jesus. He willingly submitted himself to circumcision, even though he was only 8 days old. That's something unique about Jesus. That's not true of anybody else. That's because he's both God and man. And we struggle with that mystery, and we can't quite wrap our minds around it. But it's true. This truth is beautifully captured in one of the prayers of the service of Litany in our Book of Common Prayer, where we pray, by the mystery of thy holy incarnation, by thy holy nativity and circumcision, by thy baptism, fasting, and temptation, good Lord, deliver us. It is accurate to say that in the circumcision of our Lord, he suffered and bled for us, and for our salvation, foreshadowing his much greater suffering on the cross of Calvary. Now in the text, we have a gap in time between the circumcision of Christ, which happened on the eighth day, and then in the next verse, which speaks about the days of purification. The days of purification, as they are found in Leviticus 12, after a woman would give birth to her firstborn son, the child was circumcised on the eighth day, and then she waited 33 more days until she entered the temple and offered a sacrifice for her to be ritually pure. While the text does not specify that there is just over a month between the circumcision of Christ and Mary's purification. This is what God's law, given through Moses, instructed the people of God to do. One last detail I will mention, and that is this, that Mary offered a sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons as she came to the temple. If you look at the text of Leviticus 12, the mother was to bring a lamb to be sacrificed by the priest, or if she could not afford a lamb, she was to bring a pair of two turtle doves or pigeons. Since Mary brought two turtle doves or pigeons, that meant she could not afford a lamb, which tells us something of Mary and Joseph's economic status. That brings me to my second point, and that is the witness of Simeon and Anna to Christ at Mary's purification. The Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. Luke 2:26 says that, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The word revealed means that the word of God had been manifested to someone to be divinely instructed or to receive a revelation or warning from God. The Spirit that had revealed this to Simeon had apparently also moved on Simeon once he saw the child brought into the temple, that this was the promised Messiah. We sometimes miss things as we read the scripture, and I have read this passage many, many times over and lost this detail. So let me paint it. Here in the text, it speaks of Mary and Joseph entering the temple, and then Simeon takes the baby into his arms. Let's stop and hold on for a moment. Let's think about this. Put yourself in Mary and Joseph's shoes. You bring your infant son into the temple, and then a total stranger walks up, and all of a sudden, he's holding the child. What am I missing here? Did he even ask permission to take your child in his arms? That's an obvious gap that I missed. I remember when I had an infant child, you just waltzed up to me and all of a sudden you grabbed the child out of my hands. I'd say, hey, wait a minute, what in the world are you doing? Why don't you just at least ask permission before you just grab a child? Well, that teaches me I ought to pay more attention to the text and not just read along without thinking. Then we hear these words from Simeon. Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Simeon's song of praise to God is called the Nunc Dimittis from the Latin, now you dismiss. Simeon says, my eyes have seen your salvation. This phrase signifies that this child would bring salvation to humanity. The noun salvation is related to the Savior, as he is mentioned in Luke 2:11, as the angels announced to the shepherd about the child to be born, who is Savior, Christ the Lord. Luke 2:31 refers to all peoples, for it reveals the scope of God's saving mercy, which will come to both Gentiles and Jews. Both Israel and the nations, the Goyim, will experience the Lord's salvation, not merely as observers, but as recipients, those who would receive God's saving mercy. A light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. This is a quotation from Isaiah 49:6, in which the servant of the Lord, the Messiah, is to bring the gospel to all nations. He is the one, this unique and elect Jew, who will bring the blessing of Abraham to all the nations. and be a blessing to all peoples. The Lord Jesus fulfilled this as he lived, suffered, and died for the sins of his people, not only for the people of Israel, but for the Gentiles, the nations, people from every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. Luke also quotes this verse of Isaiah 49:6 and Acts 13:47 in the ministry of Paul and Barnabas, in which they preached the gospel to both Jew and Gentile. The Christian church, in obedience to the Lord's words just before he ascended, was commissioned by our Lord to go to the nations, making disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that our Lord has commanded us. Luke 2:34 speaks of the child being appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel. The second coming of the Lord Jesus will be this reckoning of the world. For the believer, it will be a resurrection to life, but for the unbeliever, it will be a falling into judgment. The sword piercing your own soul in Luke 2:35 is what Simeon said to Mary, which refers to her anguish as she will experience in witnessing her son's death on the cross. Her soul will be pierced with grief. In this passage, Simeon and Anna burst forth in praise to God, blessing the Lord for the coming of Christ. Before this, in Luke 1 and 2, we have heard the song of Mary, the song of Zechariah, the exclamation of praise from the angelic host. Praise to God forms the very climax, pinnacle, and goal of this gospel. The gospel of Luke is saturated with songs of praise to God, for such glorification of God is a sign that his kingdom has come. Lastly, we come to this brief witness of Anna to Christ. In Luke 2:38, at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God, who continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna encourages God's faithful people within Israel who were looking for and waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem, which is another way of referring to the consolation of Israel spoken of in Luke 2:25. Since Jerusalem was Israel's capital in ancient times, the redemption of Jerusalem means the redemption of the whole nation. In fact, even further, to all of God's people throughout the world. In this passage, we see these two pious saints who are pointing to this child, Jesus, as the Christ and Savior of the world, praising God for his mercy that the Messiah would bring. May we hear their message inspired by the Holy Spirit and bless and praise God for his mercy to us. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the godly example of Simeon and Anna as they praised you in song and testified of the work and identity of Jesus as the Christ and the Savior of the world. Help us to hear and to be shaped by your holy word. These things we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.